Thank you, Louise. Lovely to see you all, and anybody online or listening to this on the podcast a little bit later. We've been considering the so-called servant songs in Isaiah over the past few Sundays at our afternoon service. And these servant songs identify a special character in God's plans for the salvation of his people and the fulfillment of his purposes. The servant will be a person chosen by God to bring justice to the world, to be a light to the nations, not just to the Jews, to bring a word of truth that sustains the weary, and to give their life as a substitutionary offering. And in the first introductory sermon that I gave about 6 weeks ago, I explored how Christians, since the very time of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch recounted in Acts chapter 8, have recognized Jesus of Nazareth in the description of the servant in Isaiah. For this reason, Isaiah has sometimes been described as the fifth gospel, because it seems to paint such a vivid picture of Jesus. A month ago, I explored how Jesus fulfilled the vocation of the servant to bring justice to the world, and that this is good news for us, because we're all really bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. And Jesus will not do away with us, rather he will tend to us, mend us, and fan us into flame. And that's good news for us and for everybody. 2 weeks ago, Louise explored how God's people in exile received a word of hope through Isaiah, that the proposed servant would bring light to the nations. And that meant that God's light could shine anywhere and everywhere, even in the most unlikely places and the most unlikely people. So you and I can be conduits of God's light as we reflect the light of Christ for the nations. But today, I want to think about this word that sustains the weary. I will always be grateful to have had parents who were able to encourage me with their words. I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of love languages introduced by the author Gary Chapman. This theory suggests that we all have some basic preferences or languages in which we like to communicate love, both the giving and the receiving of love. One of the suggested languages that some people prefer for showing and receiving love is encouraging words. And that's definitely been one of mine. When I was young, I was often anxious and insecure. And my parents did a brilliant job at assuring me that they loved me and that they were proud of me. Indeed, I've never doubted my parents' love and affection, which is a great gift to receive. I know that not everybody experiences that gift. I can remember times when I felt sad or low in early adulthood, and I'd get on the phone to my parents, and they would always say lovely, encouraging things to lift me up. On occasion, I've been able to reciprocate. I remember an occasion around 25 years ago, sitting with my stepmother, and in a moment of very deeply mixed emotions that she was experiencing, I was able to say just the thing that would help her feel deeply known and deeply loved. She still reminds me of it from time to time. Anyway, the point is this: words have the power to bring us hope and healing, comfort and consolation. There's an old saying that goes, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, of course, that's crazy. Actually, words have got deep power to hurt and to hinder. But words also have power to build up and encourage. Each of us, I'm sure, can remember a time when we were weary and disheartened, and someone spoke some words to us that encouraged us. On one occasion, Jesus addressed a crowd. He said this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, this is a lovely, encouraging invitation. But you see that it's also connected to this servant song in Isaiah 50. If we're weary, we're invited to come to Jesus and to find rest. But Jesus also invites us to learn from me, to take his yoke upon us. What does that mean? Well, some rabbis in Jesus's day used the metaphor of the yoke to describe how their disciples would follow their teaching. The yoke, like the bar that joins two oxen together as they pull the plow, becomes a metaphor for their particular school or tradition of interpreting the scriptures. being bound to this rabbi or that rabbi. Jesus is saying that he has a yoke, a way of teaching for his followers to follow and how to live. And there's a virtuous circle set in motion in this servant song, I think. The one who has the words to sustain the weary is also the one who listens deeply to the Lord. So the servant says in those opening verses, morning by morning, he awakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. The one with the tongue of the teacher to sustain the weary is the one who also has their ears opened to listen. And so too for us, we are invited to learn from Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. To have our ears opened to his teaching. And in receiving from him, in turn, to offer words that sustain the weary around us. And I suppose this is a way of saying that as long as we keep listening to Jesus and learning from him, we should find that we have words of hope and consolation to offer to a weary world in need. But there's something else about these sustaining words for the weary. Not just do they give us encouragement or consolation when we're feeling low and disheartened, they can actually provide us with the strength to endure even the most awful suffering. So the servant goes on to describe how he is mocked, spat upon, beaten, and has his beard pulled. And yet he does not cower or hide. He can endure because the sovereign Lord is teaching him and comforting him with his word. And perhaps when we read these words, we recognize Jesus in his arrest and trial, being mocked, beaten, persecuted, and yet enduring. Indeed, the Gospel of Luke describes Jesus as setting his face towards Jerusalem, ready for the suffering that awaits him there. Perhaps like the servant in Isaiah 50, Jesus set his face like flint, steely, determined, resolved not to resist the suffering as he offers himself for the sins of the world. Because Jesus knows that the sovereign Lord who vindicates him is near, that those who condemn him will wear out like a garment, but that the sovereign Lord will help him always. And this can also provide comfort to us. Whatever we go through, whatever challenges we face, we can be assured that the sovereign Lord is near us, that he will sustain us with his word, even as he opens our ears and our hearts to listen. When we're listening to him with opened ears and open hearts, what does God say to you, to me, to each of us, this day and always? Well, I think he says to each of us the same words that he speaks over Jesus in his baptism. You are my daughter, my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the word that sustains the weary. And we need only pray that God would daily open our ears, morning by morning, to hear and receive this word.